بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I promised you in the beginning of the month of Ramadan that this season we discuss some of the concepts in Islam, some of the verses, the ayat, that sometimes sound controversial and people always talk about them, they discuss them. Many Muslims and non-Muslims, they bring them up and they are searching for solutions for them. Critical verses in the Quran, critical concepts in Islam. And today I want to speak about wife beating. What does Islam say about wife beating? Is it really allowed in Islam for a husband to beat his wife? And what does Islam say about this verse, verse 34? In Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, the verse of beating wives. How do we interpret that? How do we read that? How do we explain that? I will answer this, inshallah, seeking help and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of my ability and my knowledge, humble knowledge. But let me begin as a preface to answering this particular question about this verse in the Quran. Before I answer, discuss this verse in the Quran, let me say that domestic violence is unacceptable in Islam. Not only in Islam, in all religions. In all divine religions, they have strong stand against domestic violence. Because marriage is based on love, on cooperation, on respect for each other. Being a true human is part of marital life. If someone is not ready to be a true human being and to treat his spouse and his children with sacrifice, with compassion, with forgiveness, with love, true love, then he or she should not get married. They are not qualified for marriage. Because marriage is not only is about physical needs and sexual needs. Marriage is about spiritual needs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا. Second means shelter, tranquility, peace. Nowhere we can find peace in the society except the family, the marriage, the institution of family. This is why it became almost mandatory on Muslims to get married so they can find peace. They can escape the harshness of this life, of the society, of the community, of people, and they seek refuge in the family, with their spouses, with their children, with their parents. But unfortunately, this disease, which is not a modern disease, it's an ancient disease, that does exist in all societies without exception. Muslim societies, Christian societies, Jewish societies, Hindus, Buddhists, believers, non-believers, rich, poor, north, south, black, white, they do suffer from this disease, which is called domestic violence. The United States of America is not number one, but one of the countries, the top countries that experiences domestic violence. The reports tell us that almost 4 million American women are abused every year at the hands of their husbands. Inside the family, not in the street, inside the family. And they tell us that about, and this, these are the surveys of the American Medical Association. It says that nearly one quarter of women in the United States, one quarter of women, how many women we have in the United States? Half of the population, more than half of the population. Women in America are 51%, 52%, and men are 48%. So one quarter of American women are going to, at some time in their life, in their marriage, are going to experience domestic violence at home. And those perpetrators of domestic violence, 90% of them are men. 5% of them are women against men, but the vast majority of them are men who use unf, violence. And sometimes this violence is physical. Sometimes it is emotional, which is even worse than physical. Sometimes it is sexual. These are all violence. And they say, the survey says, that 56%, 53% of men who use violence against their women, they use violence at the same time against their children too. So not only women are victims of this violence, but also children who are supposed to be the next generation. Imagine a child who experiences all these horrendous atrocities and abuse at home. He's not going to be a good child, a good youth, a good man, a good woman in the future. This is something serious. In America, there are surveys. In Muslim countries, they don't have surveys because they consider it a shameful act. So you don't see any surveys. You don't see any numbers. In Pakistan, in Egypt, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, in the Gulf states, North Africa, in other countries, you don't find surveys or numbers. At least in this country, they admit they are surveys, they are numbers. They have to find a solution for them. And this is a sort of disease. Sociologists, psychologists, they say a person, be it a man, a woman, old, young, who uses violence at home against his family members, has some sort of psychological or mental disease. He's not normal. There is something wrong with that. It could be, and the reasons vary, why people use violence against their relatives and family members. Some of these reasons, psychologists say, it could be past childhood abuse. Unfortunately, some children are abused by the sometimes strangers, by some probably family members, sometimes by their parents, and that abuse has a long-term ramification on their lives. And it shows, exhibits itself in their marital life. In their marital life. The survey says that someone who is using physical abuse against his wife, most likely he suffered the same during his childhood. Most likely he saw his father beating his mother during his childhood. So the problem does not end with the person himself. It has a chain reaction. It would continue into generations to come. So sometimes it's past childhood abuse, sometimes it's controlling problem. Some men want to control, some women want to control, dominate the family. Sometimes it's an issue of jealousy. Some husbands, they become jealous of their wives. If the wife is successful, especially in some mentalities, in some cultures, in some communities, they think that the husband has to be always at the top, always there, and the wife is down. So he has to be in charge. He has to be the king, the leader, These are in patriarch societies. So if the wife is equal to him, this is shame. That should not happen. So he starts abusing her to bring her down. He cannot see his wife excelling, advancing at school, at work, in the society. So it's the issue of jealousy. And sometimes it's substance abuse. The studies, they say those who are addicted to drugs, to alcohol, the first result is seen at home with their wives, with their spouses, with their children. Sometimes it is economic difficulties. Someone who loses his job, his income, his source of income, he's about to lose his house, his property, he becomes frustrated, stressed out. So he takes it out on the nearest people to him, on his wife, on his children. And the study says those who abuse their wives and their children, they abuse them because they are an easy target for them. They are weak and vulnerable. The same person would not dare to go and abuse his boss at work or someone who's outside. So he takes his frustration at the people who are weak, at those where the Prophet ﷺ says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالضَّعِفَيْنِ. Be very careful when you deal with these two group of people, women and children. He was telling his companions, male companions, he was telling them, be careful, do not take your frustration out on your children who are weak, who are defenseless. Don't take your frustration on your wife at home. If you want to hit someone, go outside. Go and find the nearest cop, the nearest, you know, neighbor, someone who's strong, someone who's masculine. Don't go to your house. So these are some of the reasons. And of course, in this community, in America, in Europe, they tried to solve this problem. They issued certain acts to defend women, to stop domestic abuse, domestic violence. They created shelters, counseling. But these are not going to end the problem, because something fundamental is lacking. Someone who's abusive, someone who's prone to abuse his family, there is something wrong, a fundamental wrong with him or her. And that is the lack of faith, the lack of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can bring peace and harmony, real peace, into the heart of a person than this strong relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month of Ramadan, the month where we should really establish this connection with Allah through Quran, through reflection on the Quran, reflection on the dua, reflection on the dua. We have a jewel piece of dua called Abu Hamza al-Thamali, dua of Abi Hamza al-Thamali. Beautiful dua. Try to read this dua once a month. It's recommended that we read the dua in the nights of Ramadan. It's a long dua. It takes an hour and a half. Try to read this dua once a month, once a week. Try when you go home, have some privacy. You and your wife, sit and read this dua. This gets you close to Allah. So this builds your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It opens opportunities for you that you never thought about them before. Nothing can make a person a true human, a merciful human, compassionate human, than faith and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually those who abuse their wives, those who beat their wives, they are disconnected with Allah. Allah is the source of mercy, my friends. Why do we need Him? Because He's the source of mercy. And if we cut off ourselves, if we separate ourselves from this source of mercy, we are left with no mercy. No other source can provide you with that mercy that you need in your life, other than Him, other than the Lord. You just read in Dua Kumail tonight, اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. I ask you by the mercy that has embraced everything in this universe. Nothing has been excluded from God's mercy. Everything, every creature in this universe enjoys the mercy of God. Unfortunately, some people don't enjoy that mercy because they don't want to enjoy it. They don't want to enjoy it. وَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. Not because God does not want them to enjoy His mercy. They don't want. God does not veil Himself from us. It is us who put a veil between us and Him. He's always there. Do you see some people who don't like the sun? They carry an umbrella. The sun is there. The sun does not disappear. They don't like the sun. They don't like it. This is what some of us do with Allah. He's there, but we tell Him, thank you, I don't need you. I don't need your mercy. When we don't need His mercy, this is what happens. 4 million women in this advanced country, a country that calls for the equality of women and men, 4 million of women are being abused at home by their husbands who are supposed to protect them, who are supposed to provide them with love, with peace, with tranquility. They abuse them. Islam says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. If you get married, then your wife, not only she needs your food and your shelter, she needs your protection. She needs your ma'ruf. Ma'ruf means kindness, love, care, attention. Give them care. The husbands are the teachers. They have to teach at home. They have to teach love. They have to teach mercy. They have to teach tolerance. None of us is perfect. Allah says that through the institution of marriage, I want you to learn perfection, to build your character through marriage. Don't stay away from marriage. Some people say, I stay away from marriage because marriage is a failure. Marriage is not good. No, we misunderstood marriage. Marriage is good. It's like someone who says medicine is bad because it didn't work for me. It did not work for you, but it worked for millions of others. Medicine is good. Marriage is a medicine, provided that we know how to use this medicine. We know how to use it. We know how to apply it. Marriage is based on وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah says, even at the time of divorce, if you dislike each other, this is what He says in Surah Al-Baqarah. فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Either you have to reconcile your differences and live together in ma'ruf, in kindness, in love, or if you don't, you want to separate, you think that there is no future between you, then do divorce also based on ma'ruf and kindness. Beautiful. You don't have to beat each other, you don't have to take each other to the court, you don't have to, because you sometimes have kids in the middle. Who knows, maybe in the future you're going to go back to each other. Even if you don't go back to each other, you lived with each other for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Remember the good days. Remember them. Don't fill your heart with a grudge. Grudge is not good for human beings. Grudge is the reason for jealousy. Grudge is the reason for retardness. Grudge is the reason for mental illness. Mental illness. Keep your heart clean. Always polish your heart. Every single day, polish your heart. I remember I lived in a community many years ago. Next door neighbor, he has 2 or 3 vehicles. Every time I see him, every single time I see him, he was washing one of his cars, believe me. Brand, he does not use them, he does not drive them, but he keeps them always beautiful, clean. This is what we have to do with the hearts. This is what we have to do with our hearts. Keep it clean so you can enjoy the life. If the heart is an ailing heart, قَلْبٌ مَرِيض, then you don't enjoy life. You start having suspicion about all those who are around you. You would not feel good about them. So you're going to lose. People are not going to lose. At the end of the day, you're going to live lonely. Lonely. You have no friends. Now, what does the Quran say about verse 34 in Surah An-Nisa? Let me read it for you, so we can explain this verse in the month of Ramadan. Because many people ask us, American people, our Christian friends, Muslims, non-Muslims, men and women, they keep asking us about this verse. They say, how do you explain it? You have it in the Quran. I'll explain for you, inshallah. The Quran says, الرجال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Men are the caretakers for women. Men are caretakers for women. قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Allah has given certain abilities to some of them above others. وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا, because they are responsible for infaq, sustenance. They are the breadwinners. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفَظَ اللَّهِ. Those women who are righteous, who protect themselves and their families, you have to be dutiful towards them and respect them. On the other hand, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُمْ. We have to look at this term, my friends. Nushuz. Nushuz, the simple meaning in Arabic, the simple meaning of nushuz is disobedience. However, what is meant in this verse, in Surah An-Nisa 34, it is not simple disobedience or disagreement. It is meant infidelity. You know what I mean by infidelity? It is meant ill conduct. It is meant that if a wife is engaged in a practice which is morally shameful, and the scholars, they give an example here, fuqaha, the scholars, they say, if she is engaged in extramarital relations, what should the husband do? Immediately go and have an interview with the CNN. Tell them, hey, my wife, alhamdulillah, I caught her today with this or that. No, Islam says don't do that. Because she has a family, she has a reputation, and she's a human being. And she made a mistake, and people make mistakes. So don't go and announce that or declare it. Neither divorce her. Neither divorce her, especially if you have children involved. If you have children involved. Because once you divorce her, people are going to ask, why did they get divorced? And you cannot control it. You cannot keep this secret. And you have to protect the reputation of that human being. We have been advised by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the community of the believers, they have to protect the reputation of each other. Even if they see something bad, they don't declare it. They go to the person himself or herself and they share it with them. They tell them, we saw you doing this. Don't do that. They should not declare it. And whoever declares, this is the Prophet. This is what the Prophet says. Whoever makes public his brother's or sister's mistake intentionally, Allah is going to go after him and makes his mistakes public. Allah is going to expose him as he or she did expose their brethren in faith. كَشَفَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَةً. Someone who goes about to expose people to public, Allah Himself will go after him. He says, I will take care of you. I will expose you in public. So try not to do that. So what's the solution in this case? Do we divorce? Islam says, don't divorce. You have children. And then you have to give another chance for this human being. Another chance. Do not immediately resort to demolishing a family. Demolishing a family is a crime. It's a crime. There is no act on earth, according to the hadith, there is no act on earth more beautiful in the eyes of God than the act of marriage. And no act is so abhorrent to God in the eyes of God than the act of what? Talaq or divorce. Allah hates talaq. Allah hates to see two people fighting and then getting divorced. Don't do that. Allah, like a father who wants to see his children always happy, they get along well. So if two of those children, they fight, the father is going to be hurt, the mother is going to be hurt. The same thing with God. This is going to hurt me. Don't do that. Reconcile. I have given you the ability to reconcile. Be human being. Be human being. Use this talent that you have to reconcile and bridge the gap and the differences. So in this case, the Quran says when there is abnormal nushuz, not normal nushuz, not normal disobedience, abnormal, very severe, very severe. It threatens the sanctity of the family. In this case, فَعِذُهُنَّ, sit with them and counsel them. Speak to them. Some people, they don't speak to their wives. Some wives do not speak to their husbands. And these feelings start to, sentiments start to accumulate, and then boom, one day, and I, most of the time, I hear the explosions here in my office. Most of the time, believe me. You have to counsel, you have to speak. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Allah has given us the power of logic and bayan. Speak, express yourself, share. Now sometimes you are not good at counseling. Seek counselors. There are professional counselors nowadays. Go to them. Sit with them. We all need counselors. We all need to be reminded about our marital duties. About being good fathers, good mothers, good sons, good daughters. Some people, they become arrogant when you tell them about me, counselor? You need counselor. Okay, I need a counselor, I admit. But you also need one. We all need one. We all need to be reminded. Sometimes we forget. We do forget. So, maw'idah, the first thing Allah says, use your brain, your intelligence, the power of speech and communication and reason that you have. Communicate with each other. Share the problem. Do not hide it. Don't hide. Share it. If you can't do the job, ask for someone else. A help from your family, her family, an outsider, someone to come. Then Allah says, if not, you tried that and it still did not work. وَحْجِرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجَ. He uses the term hajr. Hajr means isolation. Do not share matrimonial bed with them. Still talk to them at home. But matrimonial bed, matrimonial relationship, physical relationship in bed, don't share it with them. For a while. For a while. Because some people say, Alhamdulillah, this is for 30 years. And on a vacation. No, for a while. For a while. As a means of expressing your dismay. And maybe this would bring the wife back. Maybe this would rekindle her conscience. And wakes her up. Now you may tell me, Sayyid, why do you focus on wife? Why not the husband? I told him. The same thing the wife should do vis-a-vis her husband. If the husband does stupid things, she has to go through the same process. Same process. If she cannot do that, she has to hire someone. She has to speak to someone. She has to go and get him counseling. She has to share it. either family member, stranger, elder, professional, doctor, whatever. Sometimes you need the help of the judge. Sometimes you need the help of the police department. You need the help at some point. At some point. You need the help. So that's the second. وَحْجِرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. For a specific period of time, don't share bed with them. The third, if still she continues her destructive behavior, and you know what I mean by destructive behavior, her shameful behavior. And it happens, my friends. I do counsel. And I hear these stories. It happens. When the wife is disenchanted with her husband, she doesn't love him, she would go with someone else while she's marrying him. It happens. Nowadays, people go to offices, they share offices, they go to work, and she starts complaining to her co-worker, my husband did this to me, that to me, and this guy, sometimes he's a cunning guy. Oh, really? This is what he did to you? Oh, he's bad, he's terrible. Let's go for coffee today. And begins from a cup of coffee, and then evolves into whatever. It happens, I'm telling you. It happens. In that case, the husband should change his behavior. If he does not want to lose his wife, his family, he has to change his behavior. What pushes the wife to do something immoral is the bad attitude of her husband. In most cases. He should not blame her. He should blame himself. We should look at ourselves. This is the month of examination. This is the month of self-examination. This is the month of meditation, reflection. Reflect on your life. Is your family close to you? Your wife, is it close to you? Your husband, are close to you? Are you a good father? Are you a good mother? Are you a good wife? Are you a good daughter? Think about it. Don't lose your family. If you lose your family, you become completely bankrupt. Completely bankrupt. Everything you can substitute. You lose your car, your apartment, your house, your business. You can make it up. You can recover. But if you lose your family, there is no recovery. If you lose your children, they run away from you, there is no recovery. So wake up. In that case, Allah says, one nasiha, advice did not work, and hajr, staying away from her in bed does not work, the Quran says, listen to this. He says, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ. Then, tap the wife lightly. This is exactly the wording of the Quran. Let me tell you something. Here in America, in particular me, the one who's standing before you, I never condone or advocate or promote any form of physical violence in the family or outside the family by the husband or the wife or the children or anyone else. I'm just explaining to you what the Quran is saying. Trying to understand this verse in the Quran. So, I don't advocate that. Because we live at a different time, in a different society. Some verses of the Quran, they cater for specific societies, not all societies. We have two verses in the Quran. One of them, it says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, pray, mandatory. You have to pray whether you live in America in a rich country or in Africa in a poor country. Whether you have a post-doctorate or you are an illiterate, you have to pray. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are busy or you are unemployed, you have nothing to do. You have to pray. Hijab is the same. Hijab, whether you live in Afghanistan, you have to observe hijab. Or in Paris, or in Las Vegas, or in LA. These are mandatory. But some type of verses in the Quran, they are not mandatory. They are not obligatory. Allah does not say you have to do this. Allah says, look at the circumstances in your community, in your family, in your country. If this works, then take it as a solution. If you think it does not work, don't follow it. Are you with me? And one of them is this verse in the Quran. Allah does not say all men have to follow this. Allah says this is a solution for some community at certain times. It works. وَضْرِبُوهُنْ is not to beat them. Beating them is wrong. We don't use the word beating. Nor physical violence. We don't use it. A light tap. And then without physical marks or bruises. This is exactly what the ulama, the scholars, when they explain this verse, this is what they say. Without physical bruises. Now some people say, what's the point? You know, you're going to tap her, where's my pen? This is the way you're going to tap her, you think she's going to be hurt? Some women, they enjoy this here. They tell you more.
It's a massage.
Islam say, the point here is not to hurt your wife physically, but to, as I said, rekindle her conscience. She's sedated, she's in a state of coma, she does not feel, so you have to wake her up. Maybe this would work. Maybe. Islam says if you think it does not work, don't use it. Don't waste your time. But with some women in certain societies, it does work with some women. She goes back to herself. And she would ask, why my husband did this to me? I have to think. Do really I need to lose my husband and my family? Is this good for me? So maybe this is one of the way of salvaging your marriage and your wife. And as I said, the wife is within, if the husband does this the same, whether it's a shameful act or any other act, any violation, she has to go through the same process. She has to go through the same process. I'll give you an example. If the husband insists on drinking alcohol, many wives, they ask me, what do we do in this case? In this case, the wife has to admonish him. إِبُوهُنْ مَوْعِبَ. If that does not work, the second step, she does not share the bed with him. She tells him, I'm your wife, I'm not going to listen to you. In bed, I'm not your wife. She goes into another room. If he still does not listen, in this case, she can use physical discipline against her husband. But be careful, huh? Be very careful. I'm not advocating this. I'm saying what the fuqaha are saying. I don't advocate this. I say what the Prophet said. Prophet Muhammad never, 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 ever hit any human being during his lifetime. Unless when he's fighting in the battlefield. That's different. In the battlefield. Otherwise, no child, no woman, no slave, no free man, no enemy, nobody. He hit no one. And he said, you have to be kind and compassionate to your wives and your children. The Prophet Muhammad says, أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَقْرَبُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا أَقْرَبُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The closest one among you on the Day of Judgment to me, if you want to reserve your seat, your house, your plot next to the Prophet, then you have to be close to your family. Emotionally close to them. Mentally close to them. Physically close to them. Be kind to your family. And then he says, وَأَنَا أَقْرَبُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. Take me as a role model, as an example. I'm a Prophet Muhammad, I'm the closest one among you to my wife and my children. He was so close to me. His wife, Lady Aisha, she said, I lived with the Prophet. I never saw him even raising his voice on his family. Never ever, let alone using his hand to punish or to discipline. He never used that. This is how we should live. I'm just explaining the verse. That sometimes this method, sometimes it works in certain countries, certain cultures. They understand this language. Other cultures, they don't understand this language. So don't do that. Don't do that. And, as I said, this is not an obligation. These methods is to protect the sanctity, the chastity, and the security of the family. Allah says, I don't want the family to be dismantled. I get hurt. Allah says, I get أبغض شيء إلى الله تعالى الطلاق. The most abhorrent act. أبغض شيء. Allah says, I can't stand divorce. I can't see a family being dismantled. Stay away from that. Use every method possible to get the family back, to put it back, based on respect, based on forgiveness. This is the month of forgiveness, my friends. We come to the mosque, we pray, we fast. Why? Because we want God to forgive us. God says, show me your readiness to forgive others so I can forgive you. Show me that you are a forgiving person and then expect me to forgive you. A month of forgiveness. A month of family reunion. Family togetherness. Why do we have iftar? Maybe throughout the year people are busy, they don't get together on breakfast, on lunch or dinner. But the month of Ramadan, all are hungry, they have to come back home. So it's the month of family reunion. Allah wants the families to be together. Go back to your families. Go back to your children and be dutiful to them. And ultimately you will be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma akhbir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat tabi'in lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat innaka mujibu al-da'awat innaka ghafiru al-khati'at innaka ma'i al-sayyi'at wa ja'iluha hasanat taqabbal minna salatana wa siyamana wa du'a'ana fi hadha al-shahr al-azim. Inshallah, next Thursday we're going to celebrate the Milad, the birthday of our second Imam, al-Imam al-Hasan al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa'ajjil fi faraji Sayyidina wa Mawlana sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman wa ila arwahi al-mu'mina wa al-mu'minat. Tawab al-Fatiha ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.